In my opinion, David was put under a grotesque psychological manipulation laced with a culture of paranoia, all conducted and fostered by Corey Good in order to destroy David. I don't know if that was the goal, but that was certainly the result.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're interviewing Jay Widener, who is, you probably recognize his name. He's quite a prolific filmmaker. He's working on an upcoming film as well. We'll talk about that. He's an author of several books, and he has overseen so many interesting things and subjects throughout his very prolific history. And welcome to the show, Jay. It's an honor to have you on today. I really look forward to this.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. We have a lot to talk about today, and let's just start with, I think, the most pressing question that has stirred up a lot of questions and conversations and theories out there, which is the death of David Wilcock, who I had interviewed years ago, but I stopped interviewing him, I think, around 2022. So I was really out of touch with what he was doing. I wasn't tracking him. And he was apparently, according to official reports, he committed suicide in a mental health incident. I had another source that told me he was, quote, taken out by whatever nefarious forces. But I've also said publicly, I think that your assessment of what's happened is most likely the most correct. So the floor is yours. What do you want to say about David Wilcock and what went down?
Well, first off, you know, he and I worked together for five straight years, creating wisdom teachings on Gaia TV. I was his producer. It was a very close relationship. And we produced the best show that Gaia has ever produced. And for the first 3 years, we were really good friends. And talked on the phone probably 2 or 3 hours a week, discussing what we're going to do next on the show and all other things, you know, crying on my shoulder when his girlfriend left him, that kind of thing. And so, you know, he was a friend and I miss him, and I'm deeply saddened by what he did and what drove him to it. Because, you see, I'm one of the few people that not only did I probably work closer with David than anyone else that David's ever worked with, but I knew David before Corey Good came into our lives, and then I knew David after. And the David that was after Corey Good entered our lives was a completely different David than the David that I knew before. And the David that I knew before was bright, funny, friendly, wouldn't hurt a fly, didn't like guns, made it kind of clear to me that he didn't like guns, even though he knew I liked guns. He wanted me to know that he did not like them. So this him shooting himself in the head is just, I can't even fathom it. I can't even understand it. So, so he, in my opinion, David was put under a grotesque psychological manipulation laced with a culture of paranoia, all conducted and fostered by Corey Good in order to destroy David. Now, I don't know if that was the goal, but that was certainly the result. So David, you know, before Corey Good, had a happy marriage, making a lot of money at Gaia. He was a top speaker, top dog at all the conferences because Guy was behind him. Guy had already told him that he could stay here as long as you want, that we'll provide a home for you for your whole rest of your life because we like you so much. And then slowly I watched it all get twisted and turned. First, I was the first victim because I was so close to David that I had to be set apart and eliminated as fast as possible. Then the people that ran Gaia had to be the next ones that were targeted by him, by this whole operation. And then finally, at the end, David died of poverty, starvation. His wife had left him. he was having psychotic breakdowns on YouTube, on his show. I got on somebody's show and I begged David's family to intervene because I could see there was something going really wrong with him. I said to Cliff High in 2019, when this whole thing started up between David and Corey and the rest of the UFO community, I said, this thing's going to end in tragedy. I didn't know what that tragedy was going to be, but I just could feel that this whole thing, this precipice of lies that had been spouted out by Corey Good, who admitted, by the way, under oath in court on September 22nd, 2022, that he lied, completely made everything up. It was all done for intellectual property reasons, and that's why he was claiming copyright. You can't claim copyright on real events.
Wait, he was claiming copyright on what?
All the shows that he did at Gaia. He was claiming copyright.
So this was a lawsuit with Gaia?
This is a separate lawsuit. He then sued Gaia separately and me and Cliff High on a number of other things that all were all dismissed by the judge, and they were ridiculous, vile lawsuit. And
he sued Cliff High.
Yeah.
Over what, something Cliff had said?
Yeah, because Cliff High said that Corey ran a blue chicken cult because Corey was channeling giant birds that were blue. And Cliff made fun of him and called him a blue chicken cult. And they are a cult. They were a cult. And they doxed people. They doxed me. They doxed Richard Dolan. They doxed a bunch of people. And it was a whole group of people that were working under Corey. And finally, it all fell apart when I decided to come out in 2019 and call BS on the whole thing, because I saw that people were really getting hurt by this cult, Corey's cult. And then that made Corey really angry. He sent me a couple of emails about 3 months after I started exposing him that I'm going after all of your wealth and all of your property. I'm going to take everything from you. And I've got the emails. I post them every once in a while on Facebook. And just insane emails, you know, and I never emailed him at all except to tell him that I was not going to, you know, I was not going to let him mess with anybody that was my friends. And what we have here is here. Let me just do something here. I want to read a real short paragraph. If you don't mind. This is the best description I've ever read about the whole thing. So I put out on social media that I was going to make a documentary about the psychology behind the Corey Good manipulation. And I got this back from a very bright person. It says, "Cheers, Jay. I hope you do not leave out the behavior pattern diagnosis, or at least the equivalent framework, with Corey Good in the handler control pattern role and David Wilcock as the adjacent codependent enabling role. This is imperative because these behavior patterns are universal. Once you learn to identify them, you begin seeing the same structure repeat across families, groups, spiritual circles, workplaces, and public movements. The cluster B pathology is criminal." That's what Corey is, a cluster B pathology. Three key facts. One, these patterns often operate through charm, narrative control, triangulation, victim posturing, and mutual cover. Two, the conditioning and grooming are not always obvious at first, nor do they always happen in a short period of time. They often unfold gradually through repeated small boundary violations. Three, when these patterns escalate, the behavior can become coercive, exploitive, financially abusive, defamatory, or even criminal. So pattern recognition is imperative. Learn to identify the structure before you get pulled into it. Left unchecked, the result can be the slow demise of a person's inner life, the death of confidence, clarity, self-trust, independent thought, and personal sovereignty. It is not always physical death. Often it is the gradual death of the person's mind, will, voice, and sense of self. That is exactly the best description of the situation.
So it seems like, one of the tactics is for a person to come in and then dissociate the intended target from all of his social or family or business ties. And you know, even years ago, I was targeted in this way as well by a particular couple of people that tried to turn me against Alex Jones. And for a little while, this was like 14 years ago, for a while, they also had me convinced that Alex was evil and he was actually controlled. But it turns out it was these people who were controlled. Yep. Fortunately, I saw through that and I went to Alex and we resolved it. That was many, many years ago. But I recognize the pattern now. So first thing they come in and they say, oh, you can't trust this person or that person or your family or your wife or your business. You're saying that that's what happened to David.
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
That's exactly what happened. And he did it in the whole line in there I just read about how it's not obvious at first. And sometimes it takes a long time for the pattern to emerge. That's the way this was. It wasn't obvious at first. And, you know, when I did see it, this is my greatest regret, that I didn't do more to protect David.
Well, but don't blame yourself. It's, you know, you respect everybody's individual sovereignty.
I do. And I did, but I saw David getting pulled in and I saw the paranoia just increasing and increasing. Every time I saw him, he was more and more paranoid. And this guy's after me and this blue car keeps going around my house and my neighbor's dog died. And I'm like, David, if they wanted to kill you, they wouldn't kill the neighbor's dog. Come on, man. You know, I was always trying to be reason with him. And just at the end, I just couldn't. And then I became the enemy, and then everybody else became the enemy. And then Beth left him, and then he got isolated in a cabin up in Netherland, Colorado, where I used to live. It's a very cold, isolated place. So it was like all the right recipe for an absolute disaster. No social interaction, no family intervention, or I don't think there was family intervention. And paranoia, lose all your money. And even though, this is the best part, even though Beth left him because of Corey, even though everybody that knew David told him to stay away from Corey, he couldn't stay away all the way to the end. It's just like, who's that guy? Paul Benowitz. And remember, you know that story about Paul Benowitz getting Air Force intelligence officer, forget his, Doty, Richard Doty?
No, I don't. I don't know that story.
Okay, so Paul Benowitz was lived right outside Kirkland Air Base in Albuquerque, and he began seeing suspicious activity, like UFO activity and stuff, and he began documenting it. Well, the Air Force sent in Richard Doty, and Richard Doty created the same exact relationship that Corey Good did to David Wilcock. There's a great book about it called, I think, The Beta Project or something. And he literally drove Paul Benowitz completely insane. He died in the hospital. And that's how they do it. And he got driven insane.
What would be the motivation, though, for someone to do that? You know, are they following a plan, or is it something that they naturally do themselves?
It's interesting you say that, because I'd been at Gaia for about a year and I was running production and running content, and my desk phone rang one day, everybody was using cell phones by this time, and desk phone just doesn't get used in the inner office thing. So I was like, well, somebody's calling me on the desk phone. I pick up the phone and there's a male, and he says, hi, is this Jay Widener? I said, yeah. He goes, well, Jay, I'm blah, 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 and I'm with the CIA. And I laughed and I said, yeah, and I'm the lead guitarist of The Clash. And then he started laughing, and then he proceeded that, then spent the next 10 minutes telling me intimate details about my life. And I mean, I could not understand where this guy got most of these facts. They were all true, but I don't know how he could have known about them. So after about, you know, hearing this for like 10 minutes and getting kind of freaked out, I said, why'd you call me? And I said, you know how I feel about you guys. I've made it pretty clear. And he goes, yeah, we know how you feel about us. We should know there's a lot of people in the agency that actually agree with you. I was like, really? And then he said, but you don't really think you can run a media company without us, right? You don't really think that, do you? And I said, well, I kind of wondered. He goes, well, I would look for a dirty trick on you guys by somebody in the agency within the next couple of years. I said, a dirty trick? He goes, yeah, a dirty trick. I can't tell you what it is because I don't know what it is. But it'll be something, and you won't realize it is a dirty trick until it's all done. And that's all I know. I hung up the phone, and so I didn't realize that this might have been the dirty trick they were talking about, but I don't know if it is or was. It could have been a number of other things that were odd and that happened to us in the early days. But, you know, that was then, this is now. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you take from that conversation that someone claiming to be from the CIA was attempting to insert their control or partial control of the narratives of Gaia?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And then I think, and I have no proof of this, just speculation, but I think that they made it official probably around the time that I left. I may even, my departure might even have been, you know, something that they demanded or something, because it was all part of the dirty trick. And but what I really think is, on a more prosaic level, I think that Corey was I think he was very jealous of David. I think that Corey could not find a job. He had a family and he couldn't get any money. David was just rocking the world at the time, making more money than I'll ever make. And I think that, and David has a personality that in retrospect would have been very easy to manipulate now that I think about it. He was very naive, childlike, and Corey took advantage of that, and so it was a debacle, incredible. But you also have to understand the cluster B pathology. When they interview people who have this pathology, a lot of times they're just cruel people.
I mean, uh-huh.
You know, they just like being cruel. They like to hurt people. They think it's funny.
Jeez.
You know, so I don't know what the point was.
Let me. That's a very important segue, because one of the things I wanted to say with you on the air is that in my interactions with David, I always found that he had a very big heart for humanity. He was filled with a kind of universal love.
He was.
And he, you know, that came through. Now, and here's my question to you. What shocked me about this is after his death / suicide, I was posting on X and saying, you know, I'm very saddened that he's passed, etc. I was immediately attacked by a huge number of people that were immediately claiming that, oh, David is a scammer, is a hoaxer, and this and that and that. I was just really taken aback, and by some comments from people that I know. And I'm like, where did this come from? I'd never heard this before. And now all of a sudden I'm getting hit with this because I just tried to say something kind about a human being. Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, I really, thanks for giving me a chance to address this. I got the same thing. Thousands of hate mail. Yes, David promoted Y2K. A lot of people did, okay? But I watched him promoting Y2K. He never, outside of speaking about at conferences where he got paid to speak, he wasn't selling anything, wasn't selling any kind of Y2K kits or, you know, all any of that. Same thing with 2012. Yes, he sold the idea of 2012 at his conferences. So yes, he did make some money off of 2012, but he never sold anything. I made a documentary about 2012. I made more money off of 2012 than David ever did. So I don't know. If you're speculating on something in public and you're not really making a lot of money off it, how is that a scam? I mean, you know, yeah, you're wrong. You were wrong twice, really wrong. And all of your ascension predictions were wrong. But you can be wrong. I mean, again,
well, yeah.
He sold his ascension program for $300 a pop. So there he was making money off the ascension thing a little bit. But other than that, I don't really see it. David actually legitimately made his money. He worked hard for it, too. He wrote many books and documentaries. Well,
and let's be clear. I mean, he never forced anybody to buy his material. People bought it with consent. Yeah. And even if his conclusions maybe didn't always pan out, there's a level of inspiration in the teachings that is timeless, that goes beyond a specific prediction.
Yeah. And, you know, I personally, I'm not going to do anything like that, make any kind of predictions, because I just know I'll be wrong. And I asked David not to do it. And we didn't do it on wisdom teachings. We had certain parameters that we couldn't violate. One was no predictions and no politics.
And yeah, that's.
And he hated both of them. He wanted to do both. I said, nope.
Yeah.
I'm just going to cut it out. So, and so that caused a little bit of tension between us, but nothing like the tension it caused that happened after Corey arrived. And, you know, in retrospect, Corey was a very, very dark person. I never heard him ever tell a joke or even laugh at another joke or tell a funny story. He was just this dark guy who was, now looking back, I realized he was on a mission. He was on a mission. I just didn't know what the mission was. Wow. And he did make a lot of money at first, but his narcissistic, psychopathic nature will always get the best of you in those situations. And now nobody wants to do anything with him, well, which is what should happen.
Jay, I'm a little bit hesitant to talk about a third person on the show without giving them a chance to defend themselves. And I don't want you to put words in his mouth, but since you know him seemingly quite well, if I were to ask him to explain what happened, what do you think he would say?
He would say that a bunch of really evil people at Gaia were exploiting me and David and making tons and tons of money off of us and our work. And they're all evil, and they're all Luciferians, and they're all satanic, and probably child pedophile rapers. And Jay in particular is one of the most horrible people that's ever existed. All he ever wanted to talk about was how much, I don't know what, I can't even come up with what I was
saying. Okay, we get the picture, yeah.
Yeah, it's it'll be very vile.
Okay, got it. And also,
so in his recent video, yes, he called David Wilcock his best friend. Condolences and all that. Well, I just want to answer that. Best friends, huh? Best friends sue each other. So you sued David Wilcock. It's in his resignation letter that you sued him. Okay. You told him lies. You talked him into quitting his incredibly lucrative gig at Gaia. Your behavior was so repulsive that his wife left him, and he ended up broke and starving, okay? And that's all because of what Corey Good did to him in this massive, cruel manipulation. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that's what happened. He's not his best friend. He's his worst enemy. And here's the kicker. In 2025, under testimony, David Wilcock said, I find Corey Good's actions to be unconscionable. Do you know what unconscionable means? It means doing actions without any conscience at all. That is the charge that David leveled on Corey just a year ago.
Wow. Wow. Well, I wish that David would have reached out.
Me too.
To people like me. And I had no idea. And by the way, I saw one of his last broadcasts, and I was shocked at how physically frail he looked.
Yes, we were all worried about him.
And I mean, was he suffering from?
Well, he had diabetes. We never knew that. It was on the police report. A lot of people think that that was a glucose shock thing that he was going through there, right? You know, I had a friend who was a diabetic. I didn't know it either. And he went completely crazy in a grocery store one day. We were like 22 years old. He just started throwing stuff off the shelves and breaking things. And I was like gassed, trying to figure out what was going on. And then they arrested him. And then I found out that he was having a insulin shock, I guess they call it.
Really?
And you just lose your mind. And I think that's because if he's broke, then he probably can't afford insulin.
My God. Okay.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, because looking back now, I realize he really did like sugary stuff. Here's the other thing. I'm going to say this because I'm saying this out of love, but David, when David was almost 300 pounds when he was 21 years old.
Really?
And Yes. And he woke up one day, I think he told me the story several times. I think we just turned 22. He woke up one day and he could not get out of bed. He tried and he tried and he tried. He couldn't get out of bed. Finally, after about 20 minutes of struggling, he got out of bed and he was naked. And he went in front of a full-length mirror and he looked at himself and he vomited. And from that day on, he quit the alcohol, he quit the drugs, he stopped the junk food, he only ate really good food. He lost all the weight, and really down to like 185 pounds, looked great. When I was with him, he looked great. And you would never know that this was, you know, a guy who had one point in his life had let everything go. But my point is this, though, that's probably where the diabetes came from. My point is this, and you probably know this because you know more about health than I do, but your body's going to be pretty trashed if you weigh 300 pounds at 21 years old. So, you know, David did have that to deal with.
Yeah, and sugars are also mind-altering. They can alter moods and behavior and perceptions, or lack of sugar in some cases as well.
Yep.
And yeah, and also, you know, gut bacteria can also affect your mind based on what you're eating and feeding, which colonies in your gut. I mean, this gets very complex. So, look, here's what I'd like to do. This is the end of part one of our interview, Jay, but please stand by because we're going to do a second part about the UFO disclosure topic. But I just want to say, to wrap this up, I wish prayers and blessings to David Wilcox's soul. And I hope that, you know, I believe souls are eternal, and that I hope that his soul journeys in the best way possible to the best possible future. And any of you out there, don't send me any hate mail about David Wilcox, because I don't accept it. He's a human being who cared about other humans. Whether you agree or disagree with his work, he deserves dignity. So anything you want to add to that, Jay?
Yeah, it's just, David, I love you, and I hope the best for you. And, dude, see you, dude. Okay.
All right. Well said, Jay. Let me give out your website. JayWidener.com is where people can follow your work. And you've got, by the way, you've got a film coming out pretty soon. You want to just mention that before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I'll be done editing here soon. The Invisible Universe, Orbs, Plasma, and the Supernatural World. Got all the top plasma scientists and people involved in it, and going to prove that 99% of the universe is actually plasma, and only 1% is rocks and trees and humans. And that other 99% has an incredible effect on our behavior, and we're ignoring it. And this time, we're not going to ignore it.
Wow, that sounds really fascinating. Well, Jay, I'd love to have you back on when that film comes out,
and I'd love
to show some clips and talk about it. So stand by, and thank you for your time so far. And folks, this is part one of my interview with Jay Widener. We're going to have a second part about UFO disclosure, because the U.S. government is apparently meeting with pastors and telling them to prepare their flocks for aliens or something. We'll talk about that in part two. You can find that at brightvideos.com, and thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams. Take care. I love essential oils. I know you do too. And I want to introduce you to a new brand and product line we have of a certain selected set of essential oils. It's called Vital Guard. And we've got it in different formats. You're going to love it. I was just spraying some here before I started recording. This is my favorite formulation by far. We blended it ourselves. And of course, we have lab verified sources where we test for heavy metals and we test for glyphosate and other things. But check this out. I want to show you on my screen here. Here's the organic Vital Guard essential oil blend. Yes, certified organic, but here it is. It's lemon oil, it's clove bud, cinnamon bark, eucalyptus, rosemary, sweet orange, all together, premium grade, distributed by, of course, healthrangerstore.com. And if you go to healthrangerstore.com, you will be able to just search for Vital Guard. It's all one word, and you can find these products. Now, here's some that we have right now. So we have just the oil itself, 15 milliliters, or, and then you can use that in a nebulizer or however you wish. We have the essential oil pillow spray, 2 ounces. That I love this format. I love to spray it on my pillow before I sleep. It if I were to travel much, I would always take this with me traveling, especially, you know, like even in an Uber or a taxi or on a train or a plane, you name it. Then we have the hand spray also. That is a 2 ounce, 59 milliliters here that you'll love. And it also has some very amazing properties naturally because of the essential oils themselves. And then we have the essential oil shower mist format as well, which is available. These are just some different formats of the same essential oil blend, but just, you know, diluted with water or put in a different spray format or different concentrations. It's the same core essential oil. You will love this. And if you're a fan of essential oils and some of the amazing protective properties that they offer, or you've seen some of these oils, you know, mentioned in the Bible or mentioned throughout history, or the history of ancient Europe, for example, you will know that this blend is really something special. It's not just each oil by itself, it's the synergistic properties of all of these oils together. Not only is it absolutely delightful, but it also, that's why I call it Vital Guard, because it's vital to have protection. And these essential oils can help create that Vital Guard aura, that atmosphere around you. Again, check out the ingredients one more time. It's on my screen. I love the cinnamon in this, by the way. I can smell the clove and the cinnamon, especially. They come out very, very strong. But you combine all these together, and some of these are in my first aid gel, by the way, that's colloidal silver first aid with essential oils. There's some of these oils that are the same across both of those. Just the lemon by itself has amazing properties. So if you want to find out more about these particular ingredients, you can use our AI engine called brightanswers.ai. You can ask it about any of these, and it's uncensored, and it's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of documents and science papers and books that it can research in order to give you your answers. So check it out there. And if you want to purchase these at our online store, that's healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Vital Guard and enjoy these products. I know you'll really love them. I certainly do. I use them daily. So thanks for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.